This podcast was brought to you by Future ADHD, planners that take the pressure off so that you'll actually use them. La 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 la
la la la la. It's one of the worst feelings, isn't it?
I don't even want to talk about it. It's just, I don't want to think about it. It's just,
But the ugly fork, Elise. What about the fork that's shaped like a spoon and a fork and a knife all at the same time? What if you had to put that into your mouth?
Oh, God. No.
Hello and welcome to Your ADHD Besties, the podcast for people who prefer to learn about their brains in the form of cute cartoons, which is why over a million ADHDers follow today's gorgeous and talented guest, Elise Gendron. Hopefully I said that right.
Yeah, beautiful.
Otherwise known as the Mini ADHD Coach.
I'm Grace Coomer, founder of Future ADHD and diagnosed ADHDer.
And I am Tara Brusso, dietitian and diagnosed ADHDer. So Elise, you're our very first ADHD bestie guestie. Welcome.
Guestie.
Thank you. I'm honored. Really.
We are honored. Do you want to give us a 30-second intro?
I can try.
All right, let's do it.
We're going to time you because we're that competitive.
We'll get the timer out. Okay, Elise, and go.
So yeah, my name is Alice and I created the Mini ADHD Coach on Instagram 4 years ago now, just right after I got my diagnosis at 29 years old, which was a wild moment of my life. Before the diagnosis was a really challenging time and right after was really a complicated time too. So I decided to share on Instagram a few doodles and people liked it. And since now, yeah, we are creating this beautiful, kind community. And I'm just so grateful for what happened. And yeah, so I don't know if it's 30 seconds.
Well done.
Yeah, thank you.
I let you go. I was like, I'm turning the timer off because I want to hear this.
Yeah.
That was wonderful. And Grace and Elise are friends. So Tell us how you guys know each other.
So Elise, you did a great intro, but you definitely left some important details out. Elise is an author, so she has an amazing book called The Mini ADHD Coach. And Elise and I have also worked together. So we met on Instagram, I guess. Elise reached out and we started working together and cooking up some magic. And basically Elise did a beautiful version of the Future ADHD Planner with all of her illustrations and cute doodles inside and coloring pages and some bonus info. So that's called the Mini ADHD Coach Future ADHD Planner. So we've worked on that together and we both love helping people with ADHD and we've just connected, I guess, out of our passion for that. Anything to add, Elise?
And we have so much in common. It's just when I reach out to you because people kept telling me about your planner and I just, when I saw it, I couldn't, not see the Mini ADHD Coach version with doodles and stuff. And so I reached out to you and so we had our first chat and we realized that we had a lot in common. Like you lived in France, I lived in Australia. Yeah, so many things. Both young kids, both diagnosed around the same time. It was quite, when you talk to people and you feel like, you are old friends and you always knew each other. And I really felt like that with you. So, yeah.
Oh, guys. Yeah, this is so cute. I love that.
It's so, what's really nice when you start working in a space like this is when you meet people and you get to work with them. And this is the same connection I have with Tara. And you really like them and you get to work with them. And that's been really, really special. So
I'm yet to meet another ADHD brain that I'm not obsessed with straight away
we're all pretty amazing.
I find it like, I'm like, okay, we're best friends straight away.
Yeah. I get to keep you.
You're mine now. Okay, wonderful guys. Now we're going to move on to our recs.
Do you want to go first this week, Elise?
Yeah, I can. So, when you want to focus on something because you have to do a piece of work or I don't know, and you want to put on music to focus better because music helps me a lot, focusing and starting some tasks. And so I love that. But what I don't love is when I open, for example, YouTube to find something to listen to or some music, and I end up scrolling on YouTube and I waste so much time to just try to find something to listen to. So I have an app, and it's not sponsored, like, but you know, the creator of the app like reached out to me like, I don't know, 2 years ago, I think, and I never responded to him actually. So that's not surprising, but
it's very, very ADHD of you.
He'd understand.
Yeah, but a few weeks ago, I remembered about it, and I downloaded the app, and it's so the app is called Endel, so it's E-N-D-E-L, and it's like ambient music that is, it's really hard to describe, but it's like, it puts you in a kind of a flow, you know, it's just really like a mix of brown noise, and just, there is no lyrics or things that can be distracting, and it just really works well, because when I need to focus on something, I just, you know, open the app, put my AirPods on, and, you know, right away, I can start focusing, and I just don't waste time just trying a song and feeling like, oh no, it doesn't feel right or something like that. So, yeah.
Oh, beautiful. I'm going to definitely try Endel, E-N-D-E-L.
Yeah. And we can link it in the show notes as well.
Yeah. And it just, there is a free and a paid version, but like the free version is just, it's perfect. I use just the free version. And yeah. So
perfect. Wonderful. I love a freemium rec as well. I can easily just add that into my routine.
Yeah. Speaking of you loving recs, do you have one for us today?
I do. So
I
am going to recommend my favorite skincare product of all time, which I love as an ADHDer because I always forget to do like regular stuff. Like I'll get obsessed with my skincare and then I'll forget to do it. And then my skin will dry out. This is literally my rescue product.
Her skin barrier fix.
Yes.
Grace doesn't know the term.
I don't know anything. Just
entry level.
It feels good to me. Thank you for that translation, Tara. So it's by Avene, and it's called Sickle Fate Restorative. I've written this down on my phone. It's called Sickle Fate. Are you laughing because I can't remember? It's very technical. Restorative Treatment Protective Cream. And when you put it on, it's just such a deep moisturizer, and it actually just makes your skin glow. You can use it all over your body. You can use it for your kids as well. It's like a family-friendly, beautiful moisturizer. I love it. So
I use it. Yeah.
It's French, right? Isn't it French?
Yeah. Sickle fat, we say in French, but yeah, it's like a butt cream for kids.
Butt cream for the face.
It is zinc. It's got zinc in it.
Yeah, and zinc. Yeah. Yeah, and it's my rec too.
Hey, I love that.
Yeah, everyone is behind the face butt cream.
It is a really good one, and the fact that you can use on your kids, I just love it because we have like
it's so safe.
Yeah.
Okay, I love that. What about
the double rec?
What about you, Tara?
I'm recommending an at-home IPL machine. I'm going to recommend the Philips Lumia because I have tried it and it's good.
What does IPL stand for? You don't know. I'm just making sure, Lisa. Do you know what IPL is?
I don't know. No.
Yeah, okay,
she doesn't know what you're talking about.
All right, hold on.
Now look who's having to Google her beauty product.
IPL meaning.
She doesn't know. She's not prepared.
It's so relatable though.
Indian Premier League.
Oh, it's the Indian Premier League.
No, in beauty, hold on.
That's
okay.
Not what we're talking about.
We'll get it. I thought it was intense. Intense pulsed light.
Okay.
It's like a hair removal light. And it's an at-home one. Mm-hmm. The Philips Lumia is the one I have. Why I love it and why I think it's an ADHD recommendation is because we will often be the ones that is standing there when it comes to spring and we've got our cut-off shorts on and we look down and we're the only ones with the hairy legs, which, if that's your vibe, I love that for you. I grew up in a time when it was not very accepted, and so I've got a hangover for that and can't grow out my leg hair just yet. So I use this IPL machine as a stim. So I love to sit there while I'm watching TV and just use it on my legs, but then also it has, and your bikini area and things like that, but it has that added benefit of as an ADHDer, you don't get caught out as much because you've IPL'd your legs and it's very safe and all of those things. So
I've been so jealous of Tara because she hasn't had to shave her legs for, what is it, 3 months?
Four months.
4 months.
4 months, baby.
It's not fair. And so I'm really jealous of
like,
you now.
You're saying this kind of thing like really does work? Because to me, like...
It does work, Elise. It does. Really? It does. And I've got really pale skin and dark hair. And so I get, with my bikini line, I either get hair or ingrown hairs. There's no sort of in between, which are both not my favorite look.
It's not your aesthetic.
No. So it's like red bumps or hair. So
you
this
need some,
is
but maybe you need some face butt cream, babe.
I need some face butt cream on there. Sickle fat.
Yes.
But this one I now is my has been my only solution so far.
I think
having no hair.
Any hack that's also a stim is like the gold standard of
such a stim
of Rex.
You get to zap your hair and it's such a stim.
Yeah,
love. That's my recommendation.
That's your Rex. Okay. All right. So I think it's time to get into some dilemmas.
That sounds like a good idea. La, 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 la. So I think before we get into it, we need to have a disclaimer.
Yes, I agree.
Because we might go rogue. In fact, we will go rogue.
Going rogue is kind of my favorite. But probably best to just disclaim away.
Yes.
Okay. So how about this? Take everything we say with a neurodivergent grain of salt.
Yes. An enormous grain of salt, like a salt lamp sized grain of salt. Take that salt lamp, throw it through a window. That's how much you should pay attention to what we're saying.
But don't actually throw it through a window though.
Oh, yeah. Very good point. See, that's a really good example of why you shouldn't take our advice.
Case in point. But yeah, we're not professionals and enjoy. So this dilemma says, hi girls, I really struggle with weekly meal planning and food shopping as an ADHDer. It's honestly the most boring thing in the world, so I avoid it and I'm always buying takeaway. When I do go to the supermarket, I get stressed, take ages to do the shop, and then impulse buy things I don't need and blow my budget. And then I come out and have no idea how I overspent. Can you girls help? Thanks. And it's anonymous. Okay. Mm. So, Elise, how do you go with meal planning? Do you want to jump in first and I'll kind of vamp off you because I struggle with it so much and food shopping as well. So what about you?
Yeah, I can't help with the blowing budget part because I'm a budget blower. So yeah.
Yeah. Me too. Me too.
Especially with food and, you know, with inflation and everything. Like, okay, just, you know, I let's not mention it. It's just crazy.
Yeah. We don't know if we can help with that. Yeah.
It's like a help group. It's like, hi, I'm Tara and I'm a budget blower.
Yeah. Yeah. I like specifically like grocery because like otherwise I think I'm okay, but like grocery is like, yeah, and also because, you know, you just see like a lot of cute things like you don't need like condiments and sauces and I don't know. Yeah, just cute packaging.
Yeah, and I also think on that, Elise, that as ADHDers, we have learned that we have to restrain ourselves with shopping because it can be a problem if we don't. Mm. And so, but the supermarket feels like a safe place. Like I always want to buy the makeup at the supermarket.
Yes, they're a dangerous aisle.
Or the grocery store or whatever you call it. But yeah. I'm meant to spend money here.
Yeah, anyway.
Like, this is fine.
Doesn't feel as naughty.
Yeah. It's allowed if it's from the supermarket. So our guard's down.
True. I hate going to the supermarket. Mm. I avoid it at all costs. So I really relate to this dilemma. And I actually feel like my nervous system is so stressed being in the bright lights, all of the stimulating packages. People often talk about ADHD as struggling because we can almost see too much detail when we look at a project or something. And we get overwhelmed by all of the details at once. We can't sort of prioritize. And I feel like when I'm in the supermarket, it's like I can visualize how many products are around me. And I actually feel overwhelmed by the sheer number of choices. Mm-hmm. So there's that element. Visual stimulation, the noise, like auditory stimulation.
You don't like the clanging of trolleys?
No.
The bright light? You don't like a bright overhead light that doesn't relax you?
So I feel like all of that actually makes my nervous system go into shock. And I had a really interesting experience because I've just started medication in the last month. So I'm on stimulant medication now for ADHD. And I took my dose right before I went grocery shopping. And I had a big list, and usually I would go through exactly the same as what this person has written. I'd go through and I'd take forever and I'd get distracted and I'd be having analysis paralysis and overspending and not looking at my budget and not actually getting what's on my list. And I went through on my medication and it was a completely different experience. I didn't feel overwhelmed as much. The lights weren't as bright. I was calm. I didn't feel anxious in the slightest. And that was an absolute light bulb moment, because it was like when someone's had blurry vision their whole life and they get glasses and then they're like, oh, this is what seeing is like. And I had this experience where I was like, this is what a non-stressed out grocery shop is like when you have enough dopamine in your brain to stay regulated and to make good decisions. Mm-hmm. And that was really crazy to realize like how hard it had been for like 35 years of my life.
Yeah. It's a really stressful thing.
Yeah.
Here in Australia, we have some grocery stores that have special times of the day that are for people who have sensory needs. And so you can go and they have sort of a 2-hour window where it's quieter, they turn the music off, they are aware of turning the beeps down and things like that, and they turn the lights down so that it's not overstimulating for those who need it, which is very, very
inclusive.
Inclusive, yeah.
Yeah, amazing. What's it like in France with the supermarkets? Like, have they got anything like that? Or is there, do you do like online shopping or delivery? Like, what's your kind of strategy as a ADHDer for doing the grocery shop?
I don't know if I have any strategy, but yeah, we have some supermarkets who do like quiet hours too, but it's like really rare. It's not something that, say, yeah, they all do. So my strategy is to go every day because I'm unable to plan for like past 48 hours. So yeah. And also because I'm hyper focusing on one meal for, you know, for a few weeks or a few days that I do in repeats. So that's my strategy. That's and so I don't buy in bulk. Because I don't know when this obsession will last, basically. And when it's ended, like, I cannot eat this meal anymore at all.
It's dead to you.
Yeah. So yes. If I like, I'm, into like, I don't know, chicken breast with, carrots. If I buy more chicken breast and one day I just can't eat more chicken breast and, you know, what I'm gonna do with a week's worth of chicken breast in my fridge if I don't want to eat it anymore. So yeah, so I don't buy in bulk. So yeah, I go basically every day. I try to allow myself to eat the same thing every day, you know, and be really repetitive. And so one thing I struggle with too is like this, just like you, Grace, like analysis, paralysis and everything is deciding with checking like labels and everything, which product is the most healthy one. But there's a moment when, you know, when you get bored of this dish or the few dishes, you know, you have in rotation where it's really difficult because you don't know what to eat basically anymore. And that's the moment where it's really difficult to grocery shop because I'm basically completely lost until I find a few dishes I want to, you know, have a rotation again with. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was difficult for myself. And now that I have a kid, you know, that's really...
It's even harder.
Like diversification, like adding when your kid are starting to eat solids, it was really overwhelming for me to... Yeah, this part of motherhood, because quickly, yeah, you have like three meals, two snacks and, you know, and you're like, okay, but absolutely, what is healthy? What, you know, and just so many things. So yeah,
It's so hard.
It is. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I don't know how people do food with ADHD if they're not a dietitian. Like, it's my job. So it's a byproduct of my job is that I know for myself. But yeah.
You went to uni for 4 years to learn how to go grocery shopping.
Exactly. And I have a few tips.
Yeah, we want to know. Now we've kind of laid it all out there. Mm-hmm. We want to know your tips.
Okay.
Go,
so a couple of things that help the ADHD brain. Writing a list can be a deterrent from even going to the supermarket because we hate to write lists and we don't want to have to do that thinking of what is in the fridge or in the cupboard. An easy way to solve that is to take a photo of your fridge, open the door, take a photo of your pantry before you go to the supermarket, and then you can check if you have those things in your fridge or pantry without actually having to write anything down. You can go, do I have milk? There's no milk in the milk spot, and then you can go and buy it.
I love that.
So that you don't feel so deterred from having to plan. It doesn't feel like something that is turning into spreadsheet activity, which makes our brains shut off.
Yeah.
Visually, we often do better as well.
So you're taking out that like little hurdle at the beginning.
Yeah.
And just kind of jumping straight in with like a spontaneous, I'm just going to go and I'll take these photos and then I'll just leave.
Yes, because a lot of ADHDers do have structure where they go, okay, I have an online shop that I do, and they might have their hyperfixation meals like Elise was just talking about, but it's not always less overwhelming to be doing it online as well, because there are still so many products. There's the advertising flashing up at you and those sorts of things. So sometimes you do need to go into the physical brick and mortar store and buy food.
I also find with the online ordering that if you've got young kids, they'll come up and interrupt you. So you're not actually out of the house away from them. You're like trying to save time and do all this stuff, but they're interrupting you constantly. And so I'll leave the screen and then the order disappears.
Exactly.
Because I'm not clever enough to know how to log in and
plus,
save my
getting
order.
Getting a credit card and doing all that. Just, it's.
Yeah. And you can check if your avocados are ripe enough or not, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, if you planned on, you know, having avocados at night and your order online and they come and they are not ripe, I'm sure I will like order a takeaway if that happened, you know, because I'm just like, okay.
100%.
It's
all done.
I can't have tacos without guacamole.
No way. That would be a naked taco. Naked taco. Yeah. The next tip is to, if you don't want to do the planning, if you want to eliminate that planning stage, set your trolley out in the same way that you'd make a meal. So go into the protein section and go, okay, I'm going to, you know, if you're vegetarian or if you're not, you might go, okay, I'm going to get the protein, say it's meat, say it's mince, and then I'm going to add the pasta sauce when you go down that aisle and actually build little visual meals in your supermarket trolley so that you can see them all there. You don't actually have to sit down at home and go, okay, what's in a spaghetti bolognese or what's in this meal? You can actually pair things together again so that you can visually see them. And then that eliminates the planning stage as well.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I've actually seen you do that trolley thing on your TikTok. That's like one of the first videos I ever saw Tara make, and how I met Tara was on TikTok/Instagram. And Tara has a great TikTok where she actually goes through the supermarket and shows her trolley and shows how she separates all of her meals into different corners of the trolley. And I just thought that was really clever. I'd never seen anyone do it like that before.
Visually there. Yeah. For you.
So what about visual shopping lists?
Are
they helpful? Like we've got one in the planner, like in the Future ADHD Mini ADHD Coach planner. We've got like a visual shopping list with these really cute illustrations that Elise made. So each section of the supermarket has its own box. Mm-hmm. So you've got like a protein list, and you've got like a cleaning list, and you've got a dairy list.
So helpful.
Is that like, that's how my brain works helpful. To try and separate it out instead of having one long list.
Yes, really helpful. And my final advice was around the hyperfixation meal. So a lot of us will get into these hyperfixations, and like Elise said, then you fatigue of that hyperfixation meal. My advice always is you can just think laterally about it. So if you're focused on chicken with pasta and a vegetable or a green vegetable, you know, for a while, and you feel like that's all you can tolerate and that's all you want to eat, and that takes out a lot of the pre-planning and those sorts of things, just think laterally and just try and change it up and go, okay, I'm going to have chicken breast. I'm also going to have thigh. I'm also going to try maybe some mince, doing the same thing. And then I'm going to swap out my green vegetable for a few different types of green vegetable. And I'm going to change up the pasta to, you know, I might do wholemeal pasta. I might do a pasta that's made with, you know, a gluten-free variety of pasta, a rice pasta, those sorts of things. then we're getting the same thing. It's comfortable to our brain that we're on repeat, but we're also getting that lateral movement in terms of our micronutrients. So we're getting more of those vitamins and minerals and we're less likely to fatigue. Mm. So we don't want to, we want to try not to eat that same thing every single day. Mm. And we can, if we're struggling, we can shake it up just a little bit, as much as we can tolerate, but we won't, we're much less likely to fatigue of that safe hyperfixation meal if we can just swap out the pasta for a different pasta or swap this out for something else, maybe change the sauce on top of the chicken every single night so that we get that variation and we don't fatigue.
That's smart. Mm. Yeah. I actually was thinking about another thing that I do and I really helped. I order basically all of the maintenance items of the house, like toilet paper and soap to wash the dishes and, you know, all these things I order online once a month and I get everything delivered. And so I just have to buy on a daily basis the things that I consume, like on a daily basis, it's the thing that I need to cook with or fresh things, you know.
That's fantastic advice. I love that, Elise.
I love that too, actually.
Yeah, and, really good.
And that's a nice way to be able to use, like we have a fresh farmer's market and often I won't go there if I have to get all of those other like toilet paper and all of that stuff. But if you have that sorted separately, then you can go and get your fresh produce. Yeah. And when you're getting that farmer's market produce, it just lasts like the whole week instead of having to keep going back and getting your vegetables every few days because they just aren't as nice when they're from the supermarket, not as fresh.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Shall we do another dilemma?
Yeah, I want to hear Elise's dilemma.
Yeah, so it came on my story last night. So the question, well, it's not really a question, but it's how do I get my mom to understand I'm not lazy or I don't care, I'm trying my best? That's a big dilemma.
Yes. Yeah, I can. My heart goes out to this person. I don't know how old they are, but, you know, we probably do have younger people listening, people in their late teens or young people living at home still. And yeah, it's a big moment when you realize that you've got ADHD. And a lot of teenagers and young people are realizing and getting a diagnosis as adults, it's not getting picked up in school and they're finding it out from TikTok. And I'm just sort of visualizing someone sitting in their room, they've scrolled on TikTok or Instagram, they go, oh my God, this is me. And so they're starting to recognize this about themselves. They're kind of coming out to themselves. I think I'm ADHD. And we don't actually know what this person's scenario is, but I'm just imagining that could be one of the reasons that someone might be struggling is that their mum and dad don't realize that their behaviors are ADHD related because they haven't gone through the diagnosis process with them.
And I think most of us will have experienced some real negatives of growing up with ADHD and feel that we're not good enough because of that. You know, not being able to keep ourselves organized, which we've spoken about before, is such a virtue. You know, society really values organization. Society doesn't value that, you know, like I lived in a share house once and I remember staying up all night with this girl that I lived with while she cried herself, you know, to sleep in the end over a boy. And I was there supporting, I was listening to everything she said and trying to give feedback and advice and comfort and love. And then the next day, because I'd gone to bed so late, the next day I woke up and it was a little bit later and I'd missed my turn for the cleaning schedule, which I did. I always did my turn for the cleaning schedule, but we were very strict on it in the house and I'd missed it. And she said to me, you've missed the cleaning schedule. Like, I'm really annoyed about that. And everyone else in the house was sort of like, yeah, like it's not okay. And I just remember feeling so low and so crappy. And now I look and reflect on that as an adult, understanding my ADHD. And I think I gave so much. Like, how many people, like anyone can go and, you know, wipe down the shower door. But I sat there with someone and gave them my full attention, my full brain power, my full heart for hours until, and the reason that I couldn't get up in the morning is because I was up with them the night before. And I think it's really hard for parents to have empathy around that because they were raised often with tidiness and cleanliness is such a virtue.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also wonder whether this person might be inattentive ADHD, because I know that inattentive ADHD can show up as being quite like sitting still a lot, thinking about things, daydreaming, being creative, like writing. Like a lot of writers have inattentive ADHD, poets, creative people, painters, artists, and often
Graces.
I've got a strong inattentive trait in, I'm combined technically, but I'm strong inattentive. Yeah. Tara often teases me. Yeah. And so I do really prefer to just, like when I was growing up at home as well, I would often be the one having deep chats while other people were in the kitchen making the dinner. If we had like a lot of family over, I'd be minding the kids. I'd be talking to my cousin and giving her boy advice. Or I'd be talking to my granddad and asking him about his life. Yeah. And what he did as a boy. So I'd be having all of these really like interesting conversations. And like Tara said, being really present with people, and other people in my family were in the kitchen helping, and I wouldn't notice. My mum was telling a story about me as a kid and said that she always thought it was really funny that when she was making dinner, I'd go and play piano every night. And that was probably me trying to self-regulate as a teenager. But
because it's a busy, noisy time of night. A lot of ADHDers struggle with meal times.
Yeah.
Because there's clanging of forks and everyone starts talking and suddenly everyone's in the room and there's smells from the cooking.
And the heat from the kitchen.
The heat from the kitchen and lots of movement and people touching and walking past you, and it's very overwhelming, and we don't recognize that often.
No. And as I've said before, like on this podcast, I don't like cooking. I don't like all of that. And so mum would say like, yeah, it's really funny that you always disappeared and you never helped out. And so I think I felt lazy a lot too, because of some of those traits where I like writing and I like reading and I like conversation and philosophy and not really doing stuff with my hand a lot, which makes you just look like you've got nothing going on because you're not physically doing something, but actually there's a lot going on up in your head.
Mm. Well, and explaining, I think my advice to someone around that would be, instead of focusing on trying to get them understand the label of ADHD, which would be amazing at the end of the day if they could, and more people should want to learn what that label is, because it is a disability and that recognition makes us feel so validated. But instead of focusing on that, looking at explaining what actually happens in your brain during those times and why it's hard and what it feels like, and say, you know, what do you think, Mum, when you think about doing the dishes? Because I'll explain what it's like for me. And there's other tasks that I find easier to get lost in. Are there tasks that, you know, and try and find the tasks that you do like to do and contribute to those more, and contribute to other ones that you find more difficult less if you can. And explain, you know, vacuuming, the stimulation from the vacuum, it really makes my whole body go into shock and I don't like it, the noise and everything like that. I might not do that and explain, but explain what is actually going on in your brain, because that is something that people can connect to. They can visualize, they can understand, you know, it to me, you know, when you walk out into the tarmac and you hear the loud turbines of the plane and you feel a little bit anxious, that's how I feel just from the noise of the vacuum, because I'm more sensitive and hopefully they'll be able to understand that and resonate with that.
I love that.
Yeah, definitely. That's what I'm trying to do with my doodles, is to really create like things that people can share. And I try to make them also like quite universal, you know, that people really can recognize themselves, because it's just a doodle. So, yeah. And so the idea is to have something that can start a conversation. And I also think that it's important. Well, it depends on the age of the person asking the question. I don't expect that from someone who is younger, but it can be interesting to understand why the parent can have this pushback too. I think a lot of parents, when you're starting to talk to them about ADHD, can feel a lot of guilt because it can... Depending on what they have, what the vision they have on ADHD, it can either like be, okay, maybe it's because I've done something wrong, with the education and everything, which is not the case, but you know, it's, a lot of people still think that. And also it can be, guilt from not noticing, you know, not having noticed earlier. And so it can be a feeling of shame for the parent, because there are maybe they are confronted with the fact that they failed at noticing that their kids have this. And so that's why I think it can be, there can be a big pushback from the parents. And if you are a bit older, like not a teen, of course, understanding that and maybe trying to have a conversation about that and trying to appease first the guilt and shame that can be attached to this idea of maybe this person as a kid with ADHD they never just noticed. I think there is a big point here too.
That is an amazing point, Elise. I think you've hit the nail on the head.
Yes.
I think so many parents feel threatened.
Yes. Yeah. Also, on that note, ADHD is genetic. And is your parent able to actually focus on what you're saying because they also have ADHD? So I have seen this happen in real life where someone has realized that they have ADHD. They try to explain it to their parent and their parent actually hasn't been able to pay attention for long enough to be able to understand what their child's saying.
Or they can unintentionally gaslight and say, but that's normal.
That's normal.
And it's like, that's because you're also ADHD.
Yeah.
And people, it can be also, it can come from people who are like, masking so much for so many years and compensating, you know, your parents may be like in a very stressful management of their own ADHD. And so they don't understand that you are not able to do the same and you are not willing to do the same, which is a good thing because, you know, it's not really good for your mental health, like to manage your ADHD in a like anxious, stressful way. But they can feel a bit unease because they relate to the struggles, but they feel like they were able to push through.
Yeah. A different generation. Yeah.
So it's a difficult conversation, but I think it's important to have it.
Yes. And just quickly on that note that you just said, Grace, of a lot of people from the older generation will say, everyone's a little bit ADHD. And my response to that always is, I know that you see these traits that you recognize. Yes, sure, everyone loses their wallet every now and then.
Yeah.
Everyone will forget things. Everyone finds it a little bit hard to go, what's in my, you know, fridge and what do I need to put on the shopping list? ADHD is about the frequency and intensity of those things. And it's a similar thing, you know, I'm a dietitian, so sorry guys, I'm going to go there. It's a similar thing with incontinence. It's normal to go to the toilet, but it's not normal to have to go to the toilet all the time, all throughout the day. And as soon as that happens, it becomes a problem and we have to deal with that because it's impacting that person's life.
Yeah.
And so, yes, you might have lost your wallet before, but that doesn't mean that you have ADHD. You might be able to understand through that experience how hard it would be if you lost your wallet 3 times a day, every day. And that's what it's like for us. So it's not about the traits themselves. It's often about, and it can be, there's specific traits to ADHD, but it's often about that frequency and intensity of the experience.
And the way that that makes sense is because it all is linked to dopamine. And so it's possible for neurotypicals with balanced hormones and chemicals in their brains to have low dopamine moments. And that's going to stress them out, particularly if they're grieving or if they're in loss or if they're stressed, if they're in early motherhood. Like there's lots of reasons why you're even hormonally through menopause. Things can dip. You can get forgetful, but ADHD is a struggling with this every day.
Absolutely.
And that's the link.
And we have the same fluctuations as well. So we're struggling with low dopamine. Then our menstrual cycle, and people that have a menstrual cycle can fluctuate those hormones further. So very, very difficult.
Yeah. And I think one thing to add to this conversation with this person asking the question and anyone else who feels like they can't approach their parents is consciously letting your parents off the hook. I think exactly what Ellie said about parents feeling threatened, going into that conversation and just saying to your parents, you know, I have realized that I have ADHD and I'd really like to get diagnosed, or maybe you're already diagnosed, and saying to them, I don't blame you for not picking up on it. I don't blame, you know, my teachers. It wasn't really well understood. And there's so much research now and so many people are talking about it. But this is something that's really important to me. I identify this way and I really want you to understand how my brain works. And I want to learn about it so that we can understand each other better, and so that you're not just assuming I'm being lazy when actually there's a lot of other chemical reasons that I'm not able to do tasks. Or maybe my inattentive ADHD means that I'm prioritizing spending time, you know, relaxing or in downtime or being creative and not necessarily always doing productive stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And go and get diagnosed yourself because you're ADHD AF.
Yeah.
That's how you should end it, just to break it to them gently.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. That'll do the trick. Amazing.
Ease them into it.
If anyone has their own divergent dilemma, mm-hmm. then we want to hear it so that we can read it out on the podcast and expose you to everyone in the world.
But you can stay anonymous. So
you can stay
good.
Anonymous. Yeah. We'll spill the tea.
Yes.
Or if you just need advice, we would love to hear from you.
And you can submit your dilemma on our website. So you can go to ADHDbesties.com.
Or on our Instagram at ADHDbestiespodcast. Just send us a DM.
Yep.
Or on TikTok. At ADHD Besties Podcast.
Okay, dilemma's done. Let's move on to the fun part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Okay. I'm so excited to do an reggae seggy with you, Elise.
Yeah, me too, Bess.
So,
yeah. It's torture, you know.
So, our reggae seggy, exactly like Elise said, this week is Choose Your Torture Part 2.
Yeah. So, we did this in
who knows how many?
Did we do it in Ep 1?
We did it in Episode 1 or 2.
Yeah.
And I'm still getting over the fact that you chose
the wet jeans.
Eat the gross blueberries. It's just no.
That's right.
So I'm going to start. I've got one for you guys today.
Yep.
So would you rather experience the feeling of putting on lip balm and your hair getting stuck in it continuously for 10 minutes?
Oh.
Or having to use a really ugly fork to eat your dinner?
Oh! Elise's face right now, she is looking stressed, guys. Oh my God. Okay, you go first. You go first.
The fork. Yeah, I pick the fork. It's okay. I can do the
you
fork.
You pick the fork?
Yeah, yeah. No, it's a lip balm thing. You can do the fork. Like, have you seen my hair? Like, it's really long. Like, I don't even want to talk about it. It's just, I don't want to think about it. It's just, Like super shiny gloss, like, you know, when you're a teenager.
Yes,
and you're
that's
like,
what I mean, the gloss.
Yeah. And then it's a windy day and your hair keeps whipping in it.
No.
But the fork, Elise, what about the fork that's shaped like a spoon and a fork and a knife all at the same time? What if you had to put that into your mouth?
Oh, no, worse, you know, I have one fork that is like that, you know?
No. Like,
you know, yeah.
Splayed, how do you describe that?
Splayed fork fingers. No.
Yeah, like, and like, because, you know, I've used it to, you know, to deal with some stuff. I don't know, open a jar or something.
Toffee,
you
know? Yeah.
It's been abused.
Yeah, it's been super cold ice cream, you know, because, no spoon were available. Yeah. So, yeah, and so... Ooh, I hate this one. So it's a challenge, but I would still pick the fork. Ooh,
Over lip gloss in the hair, hair in the lip
definitely.
Gloss.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I feel you.
I would have to say I would pick the lip gloss only because I agree that it's horrible. I hate that, but I can think of more instances. So my husband and I will be out for dinner at someone's house, and they'll set the table, and it's not uncommon to see. We'll start the meal and I'll make eye contact with him and I'll just pass him my fork because he's got a better one and he, without question, will just swap it with me.
When you pick it up and it's too light.
Yeah. And it's like, we're at someone else's house. I don't want to offend them. So I'll just, we have a system. He knows because he's neurotypical. He is not sensitive at all to the weight of metal cutlery and it freaks me out. So I think just based on how many times that's happened, also my kids know this about me and my eldest who's 8 will actually try and torture me by setting the table and putting the ugly fork at my spot and he'll just watch my reaction. So I think I really have to choose the lip gloss.
Me and my husband, he knows when we've been to a cafe and you know when, that just reminded me, you know, when you go to a cafe and the cup smells like egg, like it's been through a dishwasher and it's got the egg smell on the cup. And he just, I'll take a sip in it and I'll put it down. And he's like, I can see the look in your eyes as an eggy cup. And I'm like, it's an eggy cup, babe. It's always at cafes because they serve, you know, you have the eggs on toast and then you have your water with that. And they're always putting it through the same dishwasher and then it's got the eggy cup smell.
It doesn't, maybe they don't wash them well.
So that's enough to set me off. I'm on edge for 2 months.
You've given me something else to have nightmares about now. I didn't realize how much I hated that.
I'm starting to feeling, really nauseated already.
Sorry, Elise. Sorry.
The eggy cup, come on. It's just, ugh.
egg cup.
That's why we do it at the end of the episode, so that now Elise can go and she doesn't have to answer any more questions.
You have to put your noise-canceling headphones and your eye mask on after this, Elise, yeah. Just rest.
Oh, she does look stressed. Okay, I'll read the next one.
Okay.
Okay. Would you rather have to do the food shopping alone for Christmas lunch?
No.
So, like, you have to go the day before on Christmas Eve where the shops are busy and you have to do it alone for, like, 10, 12, 15 people. Or listen to a lecture on moss. And also, I want to add a caveat. You have to listen to the lecture on moss, but you can't scroll on your phone. You have to be focused on it. You can't opt out. You can't pause it and leave.
Can you speed up the lecture? No.
No, you can't. No. You have to watch live. There's no fast forward function.
I know my choice was made for me because I felt sick that you were explaining the moss thing again.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm not doing that one. I was like, she's saying it again and I can't listen to her say it again.
Yes.
So I am definitely true. What was the first one?
Christmas shopping on your own. Christmas
Eve. I'm a dietitian. I got an edge there.
For food. Yeah.
Still stressful as.
Yeah.
I would come home and be very, very grumpy at my family after that though. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, like battling everyone in the shopping center.
No.
But do you have a grocery list with you, or are you like doing mentally the thing?
Yeah, are you free?
We should make it harder.
Are you paddling without a raft?
We'll give you like a, you have to have a handicap for this one, Tara.
Yeah, what is it?
Yeah, well, that you can't have a list. You have to plan it on the fly based on what's left because there's no
constraints. Now, the budget. Now, I have to stick to.
Would you pick the moss now or you still pick the shopping?
No, I'm doing the shopping. No way. But don't say moss again.
Okay, all right. So Tara's picked. What about you, Lee?
I don't know. Oh my god, do you Yeah, it's not fun
for
because
at least we're putting her through it.
Yeah.
Christmas shopping, like Okay, just give me the moss thing. It's okay. I can
She said it again. She said moss.
Yeah.
I love, we found something so painful.
If I can fall asleep, can I fall asleep like through the thing?
You're not allowed to fall asleep.
No. No, you have to. It's truly a dilemma, that one.
Yeah.
She's choosing moss.
Okay.
I love that.
Sounds good. All right, your turn to ask us a question now.
Yeah, it's a bit like the one you had, but it's, would you rather never being able to use a list for grocery shopping, like mental grocery shopping from now on and until your death, basically, or you cannot use anything that allows you to save your passwords on your phone or on your laptop, like, you know, or the thing you are like self filling your passwords now.
Elise, that's evil.
So you and you cannot use the same password for all your, because
Elise, that's evil.
she's taken it to the next level because now she's saying for the rest of all time.
Yeah, of course.
Oh wow.
I have to admit, I'm going to have to choose again the shopping one because I think I don't have a standard password. Mm. I know that other ADHDs rely on that and that's why I think it's evil, but I am that, oh, this is really hard to admit, but I like change my password all the time because I'd rather reset it.
Yeah.
I'm like, so embarrassed. I'm resetting my password, I reckon, like, for five different things.
Like, forgot
every
my password.
Day. I just forgot my password.
Yeah, but you know, it's really safe in a way, so it's okay.
Yeah,
no, because, because having the same password everywhere is really unsafe, you know, so it's a good thing in a way.
That's true. I'm not prone to a data leak.
No, babe. You're like basically doing two-factor authentication all the time. That's all you're
I'm
doing.
I'm a fortress of security. It wasn't intentional.
Yeah. I love this.
By having a brain that doesn't remember things.
Yes.
Things aren't going to be stolen.
No. You're changing so regularly, nothing will get stolen.
Yeah. You may be out of your own fortress. So that's the thing. Yeah.
And it has happened.
I guess.
Many a time.
It happened to me too.
This is really going to show how much I need to save my passwords. because I have to pick the shopping list one.
Oh, babe, you will die of starvation. Choose the password. No. I have seen you at the supermarket.
I will just go in and I'll just go to the pre-prepared food section and I'll just buy a stack of those and eat them every night.
Okay, you've chosen death.
Yeah, I need to be able to access my bank account, and if I lose the password, I will have no money.
Just get Eric to transfer you money, babe. That's what I do all day, every day. Jesse, can you transfer money into my
account? Can you give me some pocket money? Okay. So that's a real hard one though.
Mm.
I've got to pick the shopping list.
Oh my God. Okay.
All right. Do you want to read us another one?
We can do one more. Should we do one more?
Okay. So would you rather have your sock bunched up in your shoe and you can't fix it for some reason?
Oh, no, Grace. No, do another one.
Or have to change a dirty nappy poo splosion or poo-nami, as we sometimes call it.
No.
And we all have
young. Elise is weeping in the corner.
No, I would say, hold is a kid. Like, is it a newborn?
No,
is it your kid? That's the most important. I changed my friend's kid's nappy once and I'm still not over it.
You're in therapy.
I can still smell it. I'm so stressed.
It is a.
And there was a raisin. It was a whole thing.
It is a child on solid foods.
Is it your child?
I think that's fair enough. I think it should be our child. Okay. But
I still hate changing my own child.
Yeah.
Are they wriggling around?
Yeah, they're pretty wriggly. And it's a tsunami. It's a poonami tsunami.
Not the wriggle.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not proud, but I'm not proud, but I choose the diaper.
You choose the diaper?
Yeah, no. Yeah, the sock is just too much for me. Like, no way.
Yes.
I would be lying if I said the diaper.
Yeah.
If I said the nappy, because my husband knows. He's like, it doesn't bother me. It was really sensory overwhelm for you.
Yeah.
So I would choose the sock. The other reason I would choose the sock is because I actually don't have interception for that. So I don't notice if my sock is falling down in my shoe.
What?
I do, but it will be like 9 p.m. and I'm like, why have I had the worst day? And then I take my sock off and I'm like, oh, that's why. But at the time, my brain can block it out.
Do you know what's so ironic? During this moment, I have like a hair stuck in my glasses and it's like the hair in the lip gloss thing. I'm really stressing, guys.
It's gone. I've got it out. This is why we need to stay in packs.
This is what happens.
We're pack animals, ADHD is. You need to be together.
When you, like the pain.
Pull my sock up for me.
Get my blonde hair off my face. It's invisible. Okay. Well.
On that note.
Are we? I think we're done.
We're done, Elise. We're done. Thank you so much. Oh. You are amazing.
This has been, as one listener recently left in a review, a riot.
It has been a riot. That listener was my mum.
Our mums have reviewed the podcast. Thanks, mum. It's been so much fun. And thanks so much for coming on as our bestie guestie, first.
Oh, it was awesome. So much fun, really.
Oh, yeah. We're so glad.
We'll have to have you on again. And just before we wrap up, Elise, just tell everyone where they can find you, where they can find your book, that sort of thing.
Yeah. So the best place to find me is on Instagram. The mini ADHD coach with underscore between each word, I think. and then on my website, the mini ADHDcoach.com, we have a lot of resources and a lot of articles about a lot of topics about ADHD with my team.
I just want to say at the end there that Elise, you sort of talked about your work. You said, that's why it's just in little cute doodles or something.
Mm.
And it's so much bigger than that. It is such a gift to be able to distill things that are so important and help people to understand themselves down into one tiny little Instagram square or into a Instagram carousel. You have such a gift. And honestly, the amount of followers who love your work speaks for itself, but it's a real gift. And I am not surprised that you have ADHD and are able to see the bigger picture and distill it and simplify it for people, because I see that a lot with ADHD brains. So you are incredible. Thank you so much for how much you've helped this community.
Oh. Thank you.
Yes.
We all love you. And yes. Thank you for being on.
Go and buy Elise's book. I'm pretty sure you can get it on Amazon around the world or in local bookstores. It's called The Mini ADHD Coach, and it's a great gift for someone in your life that's just learning about ADHD, if you want to give it to
your parents. Yes.
Yeah, give it to your parents. If you're someone listening and you've got kids or grandkids and you want to give them something to help understand themselves, it's just
in a fun way.
It's a really great entry point. But yes, highly, highly recommend Elise's book as well as her Instagram account and her website.
Yes. Yep. And final note, sorry. We're always going to have one more note.
Always have one more thing to say.
So Elise, your Instagram and your books, are they available only in English?
No. They are available in many other languages. That's something that is really, really important for me. Maybe because I'm French and like ADHD awareness here is still, there's still a lot of work to do, let's say that. So you can find my Instagram posts in French, Spanish, Portuguese, Polish, German, and Japanese at the moment. So yeah,
incredible.
A lot of resources. And my book will be available, is already available in many languages and will be available in many other languages in the next few months. So yeah.
Well, you are amazing. Thank you so much, Elise.
Yeah, we've loved this.
Thank you. La, 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 la,
la, la, la. So if you love the podcast, please rate, review, and subscribe.
So that it's not just our mums leaving reviews. Thanks, Tara's mum.
Yes, thanks, mum. And if you use the word riot in your review, I will never forgive you. Only my mum's allowed to say that.
Yeah.
And until then.
Yeah.
Grace Coulmer, baby G, whose birthday is tomorrow.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
And don't RSD.
That should be on a card, actually. Happy birthday, don't RSD. No, thank you, babe. You as well. Have a great week.
Have a great birthday.
And thanks. We will see you next Thursday.
We'll be in your beautiful ears next Thursday. Until then, bye, 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 bye.
Bye. Don't RSD. This podcast was recorded on Wurundjeri Boodja land. Always was, always will be Aboriginal land. It's integral that we acknowledge the original owners of the land, seas and waterways in Australia, and that we remember the devastation that happened on this land to validate the history of Australia's Indigenous people and to ensure devastation like this never happens again.